U.S. and its allies have announced they will be using SWIFT, a global banking service, to take aim at Russia in response to the Ukrainian invasion. For more on the expected fallout from this, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Eileen Grable, professor at the Joseph Corbell School of International Studies at the University of Denver. Thank you for joining us. So first of all, what is the SWIFT banking system?
Sure, SWIFT is the entity that no one knew anything about up until a couple of days ago, and now everyone is interested in. What SWIFT is an acronym for an enterprise that's based in Belgium, and that enterprise is cooperatively owned by over 2,000 banks and financial institutions. It's used by about 11,000 banks in over 200 countries, and it was founded in 1973, and it provides one very important service, and that is it provides financial messaging services that allow banks and other financial institutions to execute payments and transfers across national borders. And so just to put it simply, what SWIFT does is it functions as a financial messaging platform that allows banks and other financial institutions to alert one another of transactions that are about to take place. So it's essential for the role that financial institutions play in moving money around the world.
Professor, as you just mentioned, all of a sudden, something we didn't know anything about, now we're all interested in. And there's been chatter the last few days that somehow blocking some Russian banks from participating in SWIFT would do bad things. So what exactly did the U.S. and its allies decide today?
Sure. Just as we were going to air, a very important announcement was made in a joint statement. The U.S. and the European Union, Canada, and the U.K. announced that it would cut off some Russian banks from utilizing the SWIFT system. So Russia is effectively, as of now, frozen out of the SWIFT system. In the announcement, there were also some other measures that were announced that would specifically prevent the Russian Central Bank from using its foreign exchange reserves, which is just a giant pile of cash, which in Russia's case is about $630 billion worth of cash. And now the Russian Central Bank will be unable to cushion the effects of any of these kinds of sanctions on its economy. So it's a kind of double-edged sword vis-a-vis Russia, shutting them off from SWIFT, but also constraining the freedom of the Russian Central Bank to use its reserves in order to cushion its economy from any negative fallout that it will surely feel from these new measures.
So did they want to stop Russia in their tracks or just bring them down financially? What will happen, do you think, moving forward now that this is in place?
Sure, it's a really important step. Now that Russian banks are frozen out of SWIFT, there's no possibility on the part of Russia to execute transactions between Russia and most of the rest of the world. So freezing Russian banks out of SWIFT doesn't affect financial transfers within Russia, or say between Russia and China, but it does make it much more difficult for Russia to execute transactions with much of the rest of the world. And what it really means on the ground is that importing firms in Russia, such as those firms that might want to import goods from countries like the U.S. or France, or Russian exporting firms, specifically those that export oil, or Russian banks, have to find new ways in order to transmit payment instructions that are necessary in order to conduct importing behavior, to facilitate exports, or even to raise capital on international markets.
All right. And just briefly, before I let you go, where might Russia turn to get that assistance now that they've been blocked off? So where might they turn?
Yeah, it's a hugely important question. And indeed, in the last few years, a kind of parallel financial system has been very slowly emerging. And Russia, in fact, does have its own alternative to the SWIFT system that it has developed over the last few years. It's a very, very small system. It's not very widely used. It's called SPFS. So it's a Russian alternative to SWIFT. China also has a small-scale alternative to SWIFT, which is called CIPS, C-I-P-S. And these are alternative kind of workarounds to the SWIFT system. And so one possible effect of blocking Russia from SWIFT is that it pushes the Russian government to develop what is, by all accounts right now, a very small alternative system called SPFS, and also provide some more incentive to move closer to China and to use China's alternative to the SWIFT system, which is again called SIPS. So there is some potential blowback, negative blowback, in terms of U.S. long-term interests that these new measures, as important and I think as valid as they are, do provide some incentive for Russia to move closer to China, to move closer toward developing its alternative systems that really represent a kind of workaround in some respects to the U.S. system.
All right, a complicated issue. Thank you for helping us understand it. Eileen Grable, professor at the Joseph Corbell School of International Studies at the University of Denver.